This is Westmoreland on the Gridiron on the Westmoreland Sports Network. Here's your host, Sean Myers.
Good evening and welcome to another installment of Westmoreland on the Gridiron here on the Westmoreland Sports Network. Coming to you from the campus of Seton Hill University in Greensburg, I am Sean Myers, joined by Dan Flickinger as always. And for the first time, we welcome in Sean Benjamin. Contributes on our Penn Trafford broadcast as well as some other football throughout the year. Sean, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
Before we jump into some of the biggest takeaways after 8 weeks of the regular season, we will go over all of the scores and top performers from this past week. We'll have plays of the week, as well as a pair of interviews, Greater La Trobe head coach Jason Maruco and GCC quarterback Max Pizzola. And we'll take a look at week nine, the final week of the regular season, a lot on the line for many Westmoreland County teams. But guys, we're now down to the very, very last regular season week. It is week nine upcoming in just a couple of days. A lot of teams already know either they are in the playoffs or they have no chance to make the playoffs. But there's still a few teams, and we'll touch on those, who have a lot on the line this weekend, trying to get into the playoffs with a win, trying to stay alive and hope that maybe some things fall in their favor. Or for the teams in, it's all about positioning at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. This is a big week for a lot of teams. A lot of teams, you know, they look at their schedule all year. They look at the teams, especially you know, like a Penn Trafford, Franklin Regional, Jeanette, Clair, and, you know, those teams, they circle those games. They know it's probably going to be for a conference title game or, you know, a big seed in the playoffs. So it's a big week for them, and, you know, all preparation goes into the final week.
And obviously the schedule makers know what teams to schedule against one another coming into the last game of the regular season. You mentioned, Sean, about Franklin Regional and Penn Trafford and, of course, Jeanette and Clairton. And then you look at a wider scope of Gateway and McKeesport and Pine Richland and North Allegheny. So this is definitely a fun week, even though a lot of these teams already know they're going to be in the playoffs. They want to win a conference championship, or they want to get a home playoff game, or they want to be the top seed out of their conference. So definitely a lot on the line. It's kind of like the first week of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's nice to see, because it's nice that, you know, the way they make the schedule, it takes you back to when you're younger, you know, how college was set up back in the day. You have your big rivalries last week of the season.
Franklin Regional will be a team competing in a rivalry game this upcoming week. We'll discuss that in a matter of moments, but first let's take a look back at the Panthers. They fell 36-6 against McKeesport. Now, Franklin Regional already in the playoffs, so that no concerns there, but this is another case, second time in 3 weeks, that the Panthers went up against an elite team in the 5A Big East Conference and came up short, and really, I don't think the final score is even indicative. McKeesport dominated this game from the start.
Yeah, definitely. It's uncharacteristic, the, you know, two out of the last 3 weeks for Greg Botta football team defensively,
which, you know, Greg Botta very well.
Yeah, Greg Botta very well. I was on the staff for three seasons. You know, I worked on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Greg Botta is as good as it gets. I mean, he wants to make sure everything is prepared for every set, every motion, every detail is taken care of. So to go down 63-3, 36-16, you know, they bounce back after the 63-3 loss, 42-9 to Connellsville. You know, this is definitely one game that he's going to want to get. He's going next door. He lives in Penn Township, you know, so this is a big game for him this week.
But, you know, we've talked about various teams, even Seton Hill. You know, when you go up against a really good team, you can't have mistakes. And Franklin Regional was already down 7-0, and then they had a bad punt snap. It was just a bad snap out of a regular offensive formation that McKeesport recovered in the end zone. All of a sudden, you're on the road playing a really good team, and you're down 14-0. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to play error-free football when you're the underdog like that, and you're playing against a team that's not a lot better than you, but is better than you.
And, Dan, you and I have talked throughout this season, and it really came to the forefront in the loss to Gateway. Greg Botta's teams never really get blown out, but they got blown out against the Gators. And again, they only lost by 20 in terms of the final score in this one, but they never really had a chance to win this game in the second half. Is this just a case of maybe Franklin Regional being a little bit below the talent level we've seen in past years for the Panthers, or is it just running into two completely dominant teams?
That's a good question. Maybe it's a good question for Sean, again, since you coach there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the speed factor, Gateway and McKeesport have a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism. And Franklin Regional is also a team that, you know, they're a run-oriented team. So they have to get to their game. They want to get to their game first. And if they get behind and have some things go wrong, like a bad snap, turnover, you know, at pick six, anything that would happen and put them behind the eight ball, being down 14-0, it makes it tough for that offense because they are a run-oriented team and they want to establish the line of scrimmage.
And do not take this Week 9 game for granted, even though Franklin Regional is in the playoffs. If the Panthers fall again, probably looking at not a great seed, and that's going to lead to a tough first-round matchup. However, Franklin Regional does get a win. Mm-hmm. I think the Panthers are going to have a pretty nice seed when it's all said and done. A team that's not worried about playoff seeding, but is more so concerned just making the playoffs, is Greater La Trobe. A great story as the Wildcats clinched a playoff spot courtesy of their 48-0 victory over Albert Gallatin. So Greater La Trobe in for the first time in a long time. We're going to hear from their head coach a little bit later, but this is a feel-good story, and it's really, I would say, a product of the different alignment in 5A this year, with not just four teams getting in from each section like years past. There's now five teams and potentially a sixth, courtesy of a wild card out of each section. So the Wildcats took full advantage of that. They were not among the top four teams. We mentioned, of course, Franklin Regional, Penn Trafford, McKeesport, and Gateway, but I think they're pretty clearly the fifth best team. And they took care of business in the games they needed to, including this victory against the Colonials.
Yeah, they played tough all season. They gave Franklin Regional a run earlier in the season, had them until late in the game. Franklin Regional, you know, made a couple late plays, got a field goal to win it. You know, it was, they have played tough. You know, they played Penn Trafford tough early in the game.
The defense was great against Penn Trafford.
Yeah, they really played well, you know, just offensively. I mean, Penn Trafford's defense is just on fire right now. They're playing really well since the beginning of the year. So they ran into some teams right there, but, you know, other than that, they're handling the rest of the conference. So they're doing well. You knew you were going to have a tough time against the four top teams, but if you could play well like they did against Penn Trafford, like they did against Franklin Regional, you know, even McKeesport early was okay. But, you know, you keep playing that way. Once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. A couple turnovers, a couple, you know, weather changes, you never know. Could go your way.
And what a brutal start to their schedule this year. John Ruane said a couple of weeks ago when I spoke with them before they played La Trobe that, find me another team that's had as hard of a schedule start to the season, I should say, that La Trobe did. I mean, they play Derry, which has one loss, and then they played Penn Hills, which is undefeated. Then they played, obviously, Franklin Regional, almost beat Franklin Regional, but a good FR team, and then they played Gateway. So, I mean, what a start to the year for La Trobe. Just very, very tough. They had a kind of a break, if you will, against Connellsville. Then they had to play McKeesport and Penn Trafford.
Right.
So it wasn't easy, but, you know, La Trobe went into the game last week knowing that they had to get a win. They were the favored team at home, and they took care of business. They won 48-0, and I know some people are saying, La Trobe's going in with a losing record in the playoffs. I mean, that's not – they're following the rules. They clinched the playoff spot, and that's so great for that program because, again, as we've mentioned many times, it helps get more kids out. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're get to experience a playoff atmosphere for the seniors is really cool. So just a congratulations to the Wildcats. They went in knowing what they needed to do, and they took care of business against Albert Gallatin.
If I'm correct, 5A really grew from a year ago because you had, I think, four, maybe five teams drop down from 6A. I think you had a couple teams like Albert Gallatin move up from 4A to 5A. So it is an expanded playoffs because it's an expanded classification. It really makes sense in that regard. And as Coach Maruco will say, last year, they would have been the fifth team. They would have made the playoffs if it was the same format. It wasn't. This year, it works in the Wildcats' favor. And they were so dominant against the Colonials that Albert Gallatin decides to leave the WPIL. Of course, I'm joking. A decision was made actually before the game was played. But this is interesting because Albert Gallatin announced that for football only, it will not play in the WPIL next year. It's just a one-year commitment to leave the district for now. It certainly could remain that way in the future, but the Colonials are going to play an independent schedule. It'll be curious to see what that schedule looks like because I don't know if they're going to have to get some city league schools. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll get some District 6. They're going to obviously have to go outside of the WPIL to do this. It's a decision that you can understand looking at the results and also a school that probably, you know, if you drop it down to maybe 3A could have some success, but they don't have that option. They have to play in the classification they've been assigned, and they're going primarily against other 5A schools that were pretty darn good. So what do you do if you're Albert Gallatin? The Colonials decide to try another alternative. I know this is not what the WPIAL wants, And this could lead to a full-length discussion about what maybe some alternatives are as opposed to just using enrollment size to determine where schools must play.
Yeah, it definitely hurts. You know, Albert Gallatin, you look at the other teams in their conference, and Coach Ruane talked about it on his pregame show. You know, it hurts those teams to have to go out and find another team to play. It makes it hard during the two-year cycle. But in Albert Gallatin's case, you know, they want to play an independent schedule. They could go play District 6. They might play a couple teams down in West Virginia, you know, so I think they just want to move around, make it a little bit easier for them. But, you know, there is a lot of steps that their program needs to take. You know, we did their game, you know, against Penn Trafford, and then there are a lot of steps that they need to take to move forward. So if they feel this is the best decision for them, that's on them. You know,
if you're a player at Albert Gallatin, what's your reaction to something like this, knowing that you might have to play schools you've never even heard of, you might have to travel, and Albert Gallatin is a team that travels a lot in itself already, but you might be traveling, as you mentioned, maybe out of state, maybe playing in downtown Pittsburgh.
They sit right, they're maybe 10 miles from the West Virginia border, so if they would play a Morgantown High or University High, you know, those schools are rather close. If they had to go down into West Virginia or, you know, to go up to the city schools, they are going to travel really anywhere. District 6, they're going to go into the mountains and play. So, you know, it's an interesting – I'm sure the kids may be a little excited about it because
– I agree
with
that.
They may be – I think there was a lot of, you know,
like there's
parents
some hope and, maybe yep, or mm-hmm. something. I know it sounds strange because they want to play some teams from the WPIL. I mean, that's what you want to do, but – it hasn't gone very well for a long time, so you think maybe there's some hope there. But I agree with you, Sean, and you know, I heard John Ruane say the same thing when we asked him about AG and kind of what how he felt, and he said, you know, it's none of my business. They need to do whatever's best for them, but it kind of stinks for the rest of us because what are we supposed to do now? Right. It, you know, you'd think maybe AG would wait another year until that until the second year of realignment or until the second year is done in this cycle, and then realignment comes the following year after next year, then they can kind of figure it out as AG leaves the WPIL, just kind of like Altoona and Hollidaysburg have done in the past.
A team that is still on the brink of the playoffs but has not had its fate decided yet is Greensburg-Salem. The Golden Lions had a golden opportunity to pull off a stunner against Thomas Jefferson going against an elite team in the Jaguars. Did not go the way of the Golden Lions in this one. They fall 70-21, Thomas Jefferson putting up a prolific offensive performance in that one. So what it means is Greensburg-Salem's fate will come down to a win in your in scenario in Week 9 on the road against Indiana. I would think that Coach Kiefer and the squad wanted to avoid having to go on the road to win in Week 9 to get into the playoffs. But if you're Greensburg-Salem, do you pull positives from this performance against Thomas Jefferson knowing you scored 21 points? Or is it maybe a mental setback because the Jaguars scored 70 in the process?
Yeah, it kind of goes both ways. I mean, playing Thomas Jefferson, I at Franklin Regional, I got to go against them three times. They are, you know, as tough as it gets. They're very tough up front. You know, they run their set plays, power, counter, trap, ISO. You know, they'll hit
and
a boot.
It's been the same for years and years under Coach Chirpek.
Yeah, Coach Chirpek, that's his game, and, you know, he'll sprinkle in a boot here and there, and that's what he plays. He runs six plays, and he beats you with it. I mean, it's very, very solid football team. They have a great offseason program. Work ethic there is just phenomenal. So, you know, to get those 21 points, you know, against the Thomas Jefferson team is good. You know, they just have to, you know, stay consistent, keep going after it, and, you know, good things will happen. Just, you know, stay positive and keep working, believe in the coaching staff, and, you know, they'll get it turned around there.
I think they're okay. I think they're okay because, I mean, what Dave Kiefer can say to his team, listen, we went up against the best right there. Mm-hmm. Now let's focus on making the
yeah.
the dang playoffs.
Right.
And I think that's something that, you know, he can kind of shift the focus to very quickly.
I think if you go back to before the season starts and you ask Greensburg-Salem, you have an opportunity, you win the last game of the regular season, you get into the playoffs, I think they'd be okay with that scenario. Mm-hmm. I mean, you always want the chance to play to get into the playoffs, even if it comes in the final week of the regular season. You just hope that the mindset and the confidence is still there for this team heading on the road after a game like this. A team that doesn't have to worry about qualifying for the playoffs is the Derry Area Trojans. We know that Derry has been in the playoffs for a couple of weeks now. It's all about trying to get that top seed out of the section. It appears as though it's probably going to come down to a three-way tie But Darius still has to take care of its business over the last couple of weeks. Well, so far so good as the Trojans knock off Deer Lake's 37-0. Justin Flack didn't have to do as much as normal. No 8 touchdown performance this time.
No, he stinks now.
Yeah, he was slacking. I think he only had one. Special teams came up big early for the Trojans. I think Darius is in a good spot, and they've kept their hopes alive in terms of trying to win this section.
Yeah, Justin didn't get many touches last week. He didn't need to. Tim Sweeney did a good job, I think, last week of giving some other guys touches. Henry Stewart, who had missed a large portion of the season, came back a couple of weeks ago, got a lot of touches to try to get him back into kind of playoff form here coming up for the Trojans. So that was good to see. And Derry got an early blocked punt to kind of set the tone, and then they got their other guys in the second half. I know we had my brother on a couple of weeks ago, but I'll keep this easy for everybody. If Derry wins against Burl by 7 points or more, if they win against Burl by 7 points or more and North Catholic and Elizabeth Forward all win, then Derry will get the top seed out of the conference. Because, again, if all three teams tie, you know, obviously they can't go head-to-head because everybody's beating each other, so then they take a step down and they would go by point differential. So, again, Derry needs to beat Burl by 7 or more points, and then if the other two teams win, then Derry would get the top seed out of the conference.
And
now,
the Trojans want North Catholic to win as well.
That's the kicker. And again, that shouldn't matter because North Catholic Deer Lakes. North Catholic plays Deer Lakes on Friday. If Deer Lakes would somehow beat North Catholic, then and Derry would, it doesn't matter what Derry would win by, and Derry and Elizabeth Forward both win, DA and EF would go up against one another, and Elizabeth Forward, beat Derry earlier in the year, so they would have the head-to-head. So it obviously looks good for Derry to get that top spot out of the conference because, again, you know, Burl down, they can beat Burl by 7 or more points, and I would be shocked if North Catholic would lose to Deer Lakes or if, you know, obviously if EF would lose, then Derry would get that too if they win. So it's looking good for them, but it is interesting once you get to those tiebreaker points, Sean, to kind of drill down to that.
Yeah, the tiebreaker points, when they come into play, nobody wants to talk Gardner points. I mean, when it comes down, and it's that, you know, for Derry EF, the second year in a row that, you know, last year they split the conference title, you know, with South Park. Now they're going through the same thing again. You know, it's a tough conference. You know, like you said, with Burl being down, Derry has a great opportunity to go in and get that victory, win by more than 7. You know, Coach Sweeney does a great job with that team. I mean, since he's gotten there and turning the ship around, they're one of the more solid teams in AAA each and every season. You know, in EF and Yawk play, I mean, that's a rivalry game, so there could be, you know, there could be some stuff. It's going to be Dustin Schoaf's last game, you know, so him and those seniors are going to come out and really play hard.
It's been interesting to follow this conference all season long, and we pay particular attention to it because of the number of Westmoreland County teams that we cover that reside in that section. The entire 3A playoffs is already set with the teams that are in. It's all about seeding at this point, which makes these Week 8, Week 9 games significant. Even if you already know what teams are in the playoffs, you still have a lot to play for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't want to get on the same side of the bracket as Aliquippa. That's something you're trying to avoid.
It's about
somehow
a home game and about getting two or three seed as opposed to the four seed.
Yeah, and that's what makes things interesting about Derry, too. I mean, if they get the top seed out of the Big East Conference, do they automatically get the number 2 seed then?
Automatically, I would say no.
Right, not automatically, but you would think that they would, but, you know, you don't, I mean, again, I know that there's a lot of favoritism to the other conference.
I think last year it was Aliquippa and Quaker Valley were 1-2, I believe.
Out of the same conference. So that'll be interesting, too, because, you know, there's a lot of...
Beaver Falls is going to have an argument, people are going to favor the Beaver County
exactly,
area.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. And there's a lot of people that will say, you know, the Whipple's not going to... you know, respect the teams this way either as much as those teams. So, and it is a great, obviously, the Tri-County West.
I just want to see the home playoff game for Derry. I mean, I was at that game against Central Valley 2 years ago, and that was just an amazing atmosphere.
A team that does not have playoff hopes, but it's not just about making the playoffs for a lot of these teams, is Hempfield area. The Spartans had a feel-good moment as they finally got a conference win. It had been long overdue. Hempfield area 31, Butler 14 as the Golden Tornado remain winless. Yeah, came against a team that has really struggled, but for Rich Bowen and his squad on senior night, the last home game of the season, to get a win for the first time since week zero to get the first conference win since 2016, all positives heading into a week nine showdown that they probably can be favored in once again.
Yeah, and they have an opportunity, as you just mentioned, to get that win to end the regular season as well. And it was it's just a great thing to see, because those kids put in hard work all year long to finish the season perhaps with a couple of wins and to get that conference win against Butler. And, you know, I know that the playoffs is the bottom line, and we've heard from Rich Bowen week after week saying, yeah, we did some good things, but we got to win. We got to win. You know, we played tough against Central Catholic, against Cannon McMillan, and Seneca Valley. And, you know, they scored 27 against North Allegheny. But he said, you know, we got to start winning. And as we've mentioned many times on this show, it's a young team with, you know, with some standouts, but young standouts. And to go against these teams, Sean, now in a new 6A where everybody's good.
Yeah.
It's definitely tough, but you know, if they can finish the season with a couple of wins, for all the, you know, hard work the kids and the coaches put in, I'm sure that's something they can kind of move into next year with.
Absolutely. Rich Bowen and his coaching staff do a phenomenal job. I mean, they, you know, this is the toughest job that Coach Bowen has had, you know, throughout his career, with being at Sarah Catholic, being at York, you know, and the other schools he's been at. You know, he's been successful everywhere. This has been the toughest position for him, but you know, he brings it each and every year, each and every game. You know, he has good coaches on that staff that can do the job. And the players there, you know, they want it. You know, it's not that they go out, they play hard, and they put together the game plans. And it was good to see them get that win, you know, because there is a lot of talent at Hempfield, and you definitely like to see that program come around and get a big win this week against Plum.
And I have to mention real quick, too, talking about that young talent, Sean, I know you've obviously seen this kid play a lot, but maybe a name that's not a household name yet in Westmoreland County, Dylan Ferretti from Hempfield.
Leading tackler, and it's not even close.
I mean, the kid's an animal, linebacker. I've heard from a couple different people.
He's over 100 tackles on the season, for sure.
Two sacks and 10 tackles last week, so be listening for that name next year, too.
Yeah, he also starts on the offensive line. And amongst the full-time regular starters, this Spartans team loses just one. They will have senior Dante Lampkin moving on, playing in his final game. Everyone else is a junior or a sophomore that's in the starting lineup regularly. Really good story there for the Spartans, and again, they have a chance to carry some momentum into the offseason, especially if they knock off Plum this week. We will go over the rest of the scores as well as the top performers in just a matter of moments. We're going to take a break, but when we continue here on West 1 on the Gridiron, we will have that as well as the plays of the week and interviews with Jason Maruco and Max Pizzola. That's all upcoming as West 1 on the Gridiron continues here on the Westmoreland Sports Network.